This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run. It's our weekly take on all things property related. I'm Sim Wee Boon. 2020 has been an interesting year, to say the least. As the coronavirus pandemic swept through the world, forcing people to isolate themselves and stay indoors, the very concept of community and togetherness was challenged. And as now we struggle to go back into the new normal, what does the term community building mean for us and for property developers? Does just building physical structures and filling it with people automatically mean community building? And how has community building changed in the face of the pandemic? How can property developers play a more active role in it? I'll be exploring these topics today on The Property Show with Daryl Chew, Chief Operating Officer of Targus and Darian Berhad, a boutique property developer who has been incorporating what they're calling community managers into their projects and developments. Thank you for being on the show with us today, Daryl. Okay, so I want to start off with community manager. So you guys have a role in your company, in your developments and projects called a community manager. What exactly is a community manager?
A community manager essentially is someone that basically he or she does all the planning to make sure that people, the resident in the building, they have various types of activities that can engage with each other, and then they can spend time building relationships and they know the environment, and essentially to make sure that people who stay there will have a sense of belonging and they basically enjoy the environment. It's not just about the building, the place, the physical place, but also the community. They must know who are the people living together with them in the same community. I give you an example, Sim. Imagine yourself going back to your condominium. Let's say you stay in a condominium. So you meet someone who is very friendly as a community manager and greet you and will tell you exactly what you can do tonight together with the other people. You have a football show. Maybe during the weekend, there's a baking class. Maybe your wife can join some activities. Your kids can join some swimming classes. So these are basically the role and activities to be planned by the community manager.
It sounds like something new. I mean, how long have you guys had these within your company, within your projects? Is it like just the last project that you guys have it, or have you guys been having it for quite a while already?
Actually, we got an inspiration from the previous project that we had. Basically, 2 years ago, we completed one project in North Kiara. It's called Anjali North Kiara. So after we handed over the keys, we placed a lot of emphasis on the customer service, and we actually engaged with our people, our residents. I want to know where can we actually improve the environment and where can we help. So we organize a lot of activities like engagement sessions, barbecue dinners, Christmas celebrations, and we even organize like wine tasting events, baking classes, things like that. The idea is to actually bring all these people together, and we have a personal touch on basically understand what they want and what they wish to have in the community. So from this engagement, we actually realized that actually people really enjoy this, and they get to know everybody, and they really look forward to participating in all these kind of events. So we essentially have a kind of a eureka moment, and they say, hey, why not in the future we focus more on building the community instead of just providing the facility? It's even more encouraging when we see that the residents themselves actually organize activities on their own. So these things become organically sustainable. So we decided to place community building as the essential, essentially number one theme in our project. And we say we're not just selling a real estate, we're not just selling bricks and mortar, but we're crafting a community that you are joining us and you are living in. So you buy the property, you come to us, and you join a community that you can live in. You understand where are you actually going to live in.
Is it popular? What type of participantship are you seeing? And what's the frequency like as well? Are we talking about like every month, every week? And have there been specific requests from your residents as well?
Every week, they have this regular session, the classes like yoga class, the Zumba, the line dancing class, all initiated by the residents themselves. So in terms of participation, we usually have about 70 to 80% of the participation rate. Of course, when we measure the rate, it's based on the invitation versus participation, because sometimes we have even like oversubscription, like people actually want to join and we run out of space for them actually. So From this observation, we see that it's actually a very popular event. That is why it drives our idea, and we want to make sure this is the main theme that's coming forward.
Does this mean community building is now a key pillar for you guys, or is this just considered under marketing? I mean, what I want to understand is, or maybe just dispel, is that, you know, some people will look at this as like, oh no, it's just a marketing gimmick. Like, how do you instill trust? How do you instill kind of like a longevity in something like this?
Well, community building is actually, when you look at it, it sounds easy, right? It sounds like a very simple thing, but actually it's not simple. To make it sustainable, there's a lot of hard work to be done. For example, as I mentioned, from the planning stage, you have to make sure that the facilities are there. Like we have 25 facilities for the next project to cater to this community building. And then from the execution-wise, we have to do a lot of profiling. We have to do a lot of engagement session. We have to really communicate with the buyers and understand what they want and what they expect as well. So going forward, this is definitely going to be the main pillars of whatever we're going to launch in terms of housing. Because what we see is, if you compare it with the market, a lot of people actually focus a lot on the bricks and mortar, on the facilities, on the pricing, on the whatever product and the sizes, the layout, that, you know, it's all quite generic. If you compare it to other developers, apart from the branding, apart from the developers and the facilities, pretty much everything else is the same. So we want something really, really different where we can tell the people that actually we care about the people that will come in and stay in the building. That's why we go beyond a physical facility. We go beyond that. And we want to understand and craft a community that if you come in and stay here, you get the true sense of belonging. I know it sounds a bit of a cliche, but to me, it's really something big. And this is where people can differentiate and see where is the good value. You know, it's apart from location, apart from pricings, but what about community? Who are you going to join? Who are you going to live with? This is also very important, because very often this is what drives the value of the property, because it essentially defines the place that you are going to live in. So to us, it's definitely not a marketing gimmick. It's not just a temporary afterthought. It's something that we carefully plan. We actually spent the past one and a half year planning on this to make sure that this is not just executable, but also sustainable.
It sounds great, you know, community building, togetherness, you know, encouraging people to participate in activities. But of course, we're in the middle of a pandemic right now. MCO, which understandably everyone had to stay indoors. It's great that, you know, you guys have someone to help encourage activities and build connections now. But there's also maybe the fear. I mean, how have you guys seen the change in attitudes? How you guys plan for kind of like a pandemic, post-pandemic community building?
First of all, when it comes to the next project, we're looking at about 3 to 4 years after this. So we can imagine most probably by the time the pandemic should have turned up quite a lot. But of course, we have to take all kind of precaution to make sure that there's a new norm. We have to make sure that all the SOPs are being followed. So in terms of planning, actually, in my opinion, when you have a community building kind of emphasis, is actually very good for the future. Why? Because when you have a strong community, you can make sure that the SOPs are all properly followed, enforced, and you can also make sure that there's an ongoing education. Let's say there's a very strong community leader, there's a very good education process where we tell people what are the correct hygiene practice, and then that's why when you have a strong community, you have this all this policy in place and the mechanism in place to make sure that not just the COVID-19, but any other future pandemics or any crisis, we can actually handle it in a more efficient manner. So that is what we call the new norm, right?
Okay, and we're going to take a short break right now after these messages. Stay with us, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're tuned in to The Property Show on The Morning Run. I'm Sim Wee Boon. And with me today is Daryl Chiu, Chief Operating Officer of Targo Sendirian and Berhad, a boutique property developer who has been incorporating what they call community managers into their projects and developments. Earlier in the show, we've been talking about what is a community manager, what do they do, and what does it mean for them as a property developer. Now I want to kind of get into a bit more details about this community manager role. From the kind of activities and the considerations that you told me, it sounds like it's a lot actually. What kind of cost is involved in this? I mean, not just hiring a community manager, but planning these events, planning these activities. I mean, are they free for your residents? Is there a fee? And how do you make it like sustainable or viable in the long run? Because I don't think there's supposed to be a time limit of this. It's supposed to be there for as long as the building is there, right?
So as a developer, we basically kickstart the whole thing by investing first in the facilities and make sure that all the required facilities are there. And after that, we hire a full-time community manager. And then we support the whole activity with our internal teams as well. So as a start, we will make sure that we make the right investments and organize activities and bring people out and make sure that they engage with each other, just like what we did before in Anjali North Kiara. So the idea is after that, it should grow by itself. When people see the need for it, the benefit that they enjoy out of it, they will organize their own activities and they will pay for it. They will pay for classes, for example, yoga classes, Zumba classes, dancing classes, whatever, baking classes. So what we do essentially, just like the parenting, you know, we invest in building the environment, giving the education to the people, and then the kids are supposed to grow and prosper on their own. Similarly, the residents will, after the education process, they will actually manage all this on their own, and they will engage with the community leader on their own, and they will organize things on their own. Of course, primarily driven by the community leader. So in terms of investment, actually, it's not that much. You know, it's just initial investment on the facility and the community leader, which will be driven by the developers anyway. And after that, it should grow organically.
How do you make these events interesting in the long run? Because there's only so many barbecues you can organize. There's so many Zumba classes you can organize. How do you kind of like maintain the residents' interest? Because I don't think they'll be signing a contract and have to commit for 6 months to do these activities. How do you kind of like encourage or allow the community manager to have new ideas?
The most important is, of course, to hire a community leader that is very creative and also very passionate about this. Of course, it shouldn't be just barbecue and dinners or celebration, because how many dinners can you organize actually, right? So the idea is when we have someone creative and someone passionate about the idea, he or she will definitely come with more and more ideas. For example, they can have other engagement sessions, just like right now, let's say there's a pandemic, right? They should have some engagement on educating the public and the residents on how to actually enforce the SOP, how to practice good hygiene. And then when there's other things coming up, they would organize education session. They will organize other classes on many, many other things. It can be on baking, on cooking, on any other social activities. So it doesn't have to be just dinner and gatherings. It should be more than that. So We actually, of course, we cannot just list down all the activities that we're going to plan out for the next 1 year or 2 years. It has to go along and then evolve by itself. But as a developer, what we do is we drive the direction and we make sure that we hire the right person and we make sure that the community appreciate that, and then they will take things forward and make it even better. Because I'm sure there are many, many other activities that I couldn't think of right now, but it's actually very enjoyable and very interesting. So the idea is kickstart the whole thing, educate the residents and put the right people in to make sure it prospers. So that should be the right attitude, because we don't want to be just someone who is doing it all the time, and that it's not the direction that we want. So we want to make sure that it's sustainable and it can grow as long as possible. So that's the idea.
So how do you balance between what you guys plan, what your community builders or your community building efforts are, and between what the residents want? Because I would also imagine sometimes the residents just want to do their own thing without the involvement from community managers. I mean, has scenarios like that presented itself?
Definitely, because when you have, like, for example, you have 400 different residents in the building, each one of them may have different ideas. So it doesn't necessarily mean that all of them must join the same activities. They could have different groups in the building. And and they have their own classes or different activities. And some may like to join what is organized by the community leader. Some may want to organize their own activities. So it's actually free for all. And there's no such thing as you have to join this, you have to join that, you have to do this, do that. So we actually give a lot of flexibility. The idea is when we have a community leader, it forms a very good communication channel as well. And that community leader should work very closely with the building manager as well, because then you can highlight whatever issue, whatever things that you need to prepare. For example, you need to upgrade certain facilities, you need to put in certain SOP or certain practice, or you need to enhance the security or anything in that manner. So that is also the side effect, that the side benefit that we can actually get.
How much of this community management manager, community building is incorporated into the final cost of your product? You know, in a sense, when I'm buying a unit from you, how much of it is actually, how much of the community building aspect has been calculated into the final cost?
We don't really incorporate the cost because, first of all, we don't think that it costs a lot of money. Me, the cost is to hire the community leader, which is a lot. You know, I can imagine probably 4,000 or 5,000 for one community leader. So the idea is to, at the planning stage, put in the right facility, which is all in the cost of the building anyway, right? And after that, when it comes to organizing different activities and having different engagement sessions, those are the additional costs that as we go along, then we know what it is. And I don't imagine that being a lot, because when it comes to activities like engagement session, we already have the facilities there. We are not like going to rent somewhere, an expensive hotel or something to have an engagement session. So a lot of the thing is to use whatever facilities we have, and then it should be on a very cost-effective manner. So we don't really incorporate an expensive cost inside the management fee. So that actually will reduce the kind of fear that some buyers, like what you mentioned, they might be afraid that they're going to have to pay like a crazy amount of management charge just because we have a very funky community building concept. So that's not the right way to look at it. So yeah.
So it's not so it's not part of the management fee that I have to pay, like if I buy a condo from you guys.
We never add any additional premium on the management fees just because of that.
Okay.
So it's not added into the cost. Yeah.
Okay. What's in it for the community managers themselves? I mean, or community leaders, as you say, what's in it for them? Because I want to imagine myself as someone joining you, but what's the career trajectory like for me?
Whoever that becomes a community manager, essentially you're looking at a property management role. So he or she must have a basic interest in being a property manager, right? And of course, we look for people who are genuinely passionate about organizing activities, about engagement with the people. So from doing all these activities, they can actually broaden their network, they can actually broaden their relationship base, they can know more people, they can actually know more about other building management aspects. And eventually they could even choose to become the building manager, or they can even learn more and more about other aspects of property management. So the growth prospects of this community leader is such that, you know, eventually they'll become a manager of a hospitality brand, because in hospitality it's always about making sure that you offer customer service, you offer good communications with the customers. So this is what we look at in terms of developing the community leader. You know, eventually, maybe we can even absorb the community leader in our hospitality brand.
Okay, well, my last question is that you guys are a boutique developer. So these big property developers that have so much more resources, you know, the ability to just outsource everything, how would you guys stay ahead of the game in terms of this aspect for your projects and your future projects?
Well, the easiest thing is to be the first one to do it. And essentially, you can't really stop anyone from copying the idea, because it's there and everybody can do it. But whether or not you can actually do it well, it depends on the effort and also the planning that you actually put in. Right now, we are about 3 to 4 months ahead from launching our project, and we have done all the preparations and all the planning. So in a way, in terms of speed, I think we can be one of the first to actually launch the concept. And after all, when we actually execute it, we have to make sure that the entire organization within our company work together to make sure that it's a success. And once the result is out and the people can see it, then it becomes part of the brand.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all the time for today's Property Show. Thank you for being on the show, Daryl. That was Daryl Chew, Chief Operating Officer of Tagus Sdn Bhd, a boutique developer. We've got a 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up next, followed by Enterprise. Stay tuned, PFM 89.9.
The Property Show on PFM 89.9, the business station. This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.